Everyone loves a good story. Donald Miller, who's author of a book called Blue Like Jazz, writes this: in order to have a good story, you need a character who wants something and has to overcome conflict in order to get it. And so you have a character who wants something, but he has to overcome some kind of difficulty. After church today, we are going to have some people over, and we're supposed to grill some hamburgers. And I knew that the weather was going to be bad, so I was going to get one of those canopy tents so that I could have that canopy tent and grill underneath that tent. So I drove to Harbor Freights, and they had one on sale, bought it, and I put the tent up in the backyard. That wasn't a very good story, was it? There's no conflict. There's nothing going on there. Let me tell you what really happened. This is the true story. Go to Harbor Freights and buy the canopy tent, and I'm starting to put it up in the backyard, and Margie comes out, and she says, why don't we do this later, because there's these dark clouds over there. And I said, no, it's great. This is the only time I have to do it. Let's do it now. And so we're putting up the canopy tent, and she says, it looks pretty cloudy, and there's thunder and lightning. And I said, well, hun, and you know, if I say hun or honey, I'm irritated. So if I'm talking to you and I call you honey, look out. I said, honey, it's fine. So we get the canopy tent up, and she walks into the house, and it starts raining just really hard. And the wind picks up. And the wind picks up, and the rain starts coming in sideways. And I think tornado. And I'm down there trying to stake the canopy tent in the ground. And then the rain, which is going sideways, turns into hail. And I've seen, you know, big hail before, but this is little hail. But it was like raindrops. It was so much of it. And then the wind picks up the canopy tent, and I'm holding on to it, and it whips it out of my hand and takes it and throws it about 5 yards into the yard, and then it starts rolling. It rolls into the woods and disappears. And now I'm there, and it's hailing, and it's cold, and it's thunder and lightning, so I run into the porch. And here's all this wind, and I'm thinking tornado, and the electricity's out. And what do you do in a situation like that? You get your camera phone out and you take a picture of it. And so this is it. And that's all the hail on the ground. Okay. There's the grill to your right. There to your left up there is the tent. And here is the tent. That's the tent. Yeah, that's the tent. So after that, after the storm subsided, I drove back to Harbor Freights and I bought another tent and I put the second tent up. Now, see, that's a good story, right? Now, if the second time I was driving to Harbor Freights, if I saw some aliens and I had to fight some zombies, that would have been a great story, right? A good story has a character that overcomes obstacles to achieve his quest. Frodo in Lord of the Rings, Dorothy, the Wizard of Oz, Gulliver's Travel, Oliver Twist, Robinson Crusoe, Huckleberry Finn, they all had to overcome something to achieve their goal. I was thinking about some of my favorite movies, and almost all these movies have a character that he or she has to overcome difficulties to get what he wants. Jack Ryan in A Clear and Present Danger, Braveheart, Gladiator, Indiana Jones, The Fugitive, Steve Martin in The Jerk, great movie. Monty Python, The Holy Grail, The Shawshank Redemption, and then the greatest movie ever made, Aliens with Sigourney Weaver. In all those movies, there's a character that has to overcome difficulties in order to achieve a goal or to get what he wants. Now let's talk about the story of humanity. What do we want? Now, if you asked 100 people, what do you want? You'd probably get 100 different answers. I want a good job. I want a nice car. I want to live near the beach. I want my kids to go to college. I want to be financially secure. I want to be happy. I want a good marriage. I want to stay healthy. I want to enjoy myself. I want to be successful. And all those things are good. And if you want to summarize all that, I think what we really want, ultimately what we want, is a good life and a long life. First, we want a good life. We want a life that's fulfilling and meaningful and enjoyable. And then we want a long life. We want that good life never to end. You ever had a good period of your life, a good time, and you just didn't want it to end? Margie and I went on vacation to San Antonio over the summer, and we stayed at this historical 1800s bed and breakfast. And we went downtown, and we enjoyed all the food, and it was a great time. And you want those good times never to end. So what do we want? We want a good life and a long life. What keeps us from getting what we want? Sin and death. Sin and death keeps us from having a good life and a long life. First, we want a good life, but sin gets in the way. People are unreasonable, self-centered, abusive, hateful, harmful, vindictive, and many times their sin blocks us from getting what we want. We want something, but other people's sin keeps us from getting what we want. The men's group, we are studying 2 Timothy. And last Tuesday, we looked at 2 Timothy 3. And Paul is talking to his young friend, and he says this, "Look out, because people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, lovers of pleasure, treacherous, rash, and conceited." Pretty long list there. And then in Titus 3, Paul says this, "People are disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures, living in malice and envy, being hated, and hating one another." People are capable of such evil and sin, and many times their sin, their evil, keeps us from having that good life. Alexander Solzhenitsyn was a historian and a Russian author. And he lived about 8 years in a Russian prison camp. And he wrote, "If only there were evil people somewhere insidiously committing evil deeds, and it was necessary only to separate them from the rest of us." So he says, it'd be neat if everyone who's evil, we could just put them over there. And then we could have a dividing line and have all the good people over there. But then he says this, "But the line dividing good and evil cuts through the heart of every human." You can't say, okay, all the good people will go over there. And the only people there would be Donna Sauer. I mean, she'd be by herself, you know? And all the rest of us would be over here. There is evil and sin in all of us. It's not saying that everything we do is bad, but there's something twisted within all of us. There's something broken. There's something not quite right. We want the good life, but many times our own sin keeps us from that good life. We want that so bad that we will do anything to get that good life. And then when we get that thing, it's not enough. It's not satisfying. Ever tried to buy something on the internet or through a catalog and it just looks so cool, so great, and then you get the box in the mail and you open it up and you go, wow, this is it? It's never enough. It doesn't satisfy. We want that good life, but we just can't get it. Brian Wilkerson was talking about his four-year-old son. And his four-year-old son was watching the Roadrunner cartoon for the very first time. So this four-year-old is watching the Roadrunner, and he sees Wile E. Coyote putting on the jetpack, and he's flying in the air, and then the jetpack loses fuel, and he crashes into the canyon. And then he straps himself to this big slingshot and slams into the canyon wall and slowly slides down. Then he climbs into a canyon, boom canyon, and instead of shooting him out and capturing the Roadrunner, blows up. Well, after a while, his son was watching this, and he turned to his dad and said, "No matter what he does, he's never going to catch that chicken. No matter what he does, he's never going to catch that chicken." We know that there's something not quite right in us, and we try to fix that thing. We read self-help books. We go to counselors. We go to church. We promise to do good, but we can never fix that broken thing. We can never catch that chicken. We end up rejecting God and hurting ourselves and hurting all those around us. God wants us to have this good life, but sin gets in the way. What gets in the way of us having a long life? Death. We want this long life, but we all die. And we try to exercise, we eat right, we take vitamins, but in the end, everyone dies. That's cheerful, huh? These are my pills. Now, these are all supplements and vitamins. There's no prescription. I don't have any prescription medication. These are just things to keep me healthy and to give me a good life, a long life. You see this pill here? This pill here is to improve your memory. You know what this pill's for? I don't know either. I forgot. No matter what we do, we're all going to die. We want this long, good life, but we're never going to get that chicken. In a good story, there's a character who wants something, and he has to overcome difficulties in order to get what he wants. Let's talk about Jesus for a while. It is Sunday and it's Easter, so that would be a good thing to do. Think about Jesus. Before he came to the earth, before he even created the earth, what did Jesus want? Did he want a good life? He already had that. For all eternity, Jesus has this harmonious relationship with the Father and the Spirit. The triune God is complete within himself. He doesn't need anything. Did he want a long life? He already had that. He's the eternal God. Why did Jesus come to the earth? Why did Jesus become human? To give us a good life and to give us a long life. Jesus said in John 10:10, "I have come that you might have life, and life in its fullness." This term, "in its fullness," means abundant. It means more than enough. It even means excessive. "I have come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness." Now, let me tell you how God defines the good life. We define the good life as money in the bank, and our marriage is going well, and we're healthy. And that's good, but this is how God defines a good life. A good life is a life of harmony. A good life is a life of harmony between us and God. See, we were ultimately designed to have a relationship with God, an intimate, personal relationship. That's the good life. But what do? We run from God. We pursue other things. We're always chasing the chicken. We need to stop chasing the chicken. You can't find abundant life apart from Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to give us a good life, a life of harmony. He also came to give us a long life. John 3:16. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting, eternal life. Now, what does Jesus do? What does this character in the story have to do to get what he wants? He wants to give us a long life and a good life. What does he have to overcome? Sin and death. He overcame sin by dying on the cross. Romans 5:8. God showed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, God is holy and just, and there must be consequences for sin. He can't just say, okay, that's fine, you know, that's fine. There must be consequences for sin. But God is also loving and merciful. And so Jesus became man, and Jesus died on the cross, and he paid for the consequences of our sins. Back to Titus 3:3. I didn't read all of it. Let me read it again. At one time, we too were foolish. It's talking about us. We too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved, living in malice, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of our God and Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy. Jesus didn't come to save righteous people, if there are any. He came to save sinners. There is something not quite right with us. Jesus came to offer us forgiveness, reconciliation, and a new life. Christ overcame sin by dying on the cross. And Christ overcame death by rising from the grave. On Friday, Jesus dies a brutal death. They take him and they bury him in a tomb. Story over. Book closed. Game over, man. That's from Aliens, the movie. You got to watch it. It's over. What a terrible story if it ended that way. You ever watched a movie and it's pretty good and then it has a terrible ending? There's a movie, it's an older movie. John Travolta was in it. It's called Blowout. And he is chasing this killer. And toward the end of the movie, the killer is on this rooftop, and the killer is fighting his girlfriend, and they're wrestling, and they're tossing, and they're close to the edge of the building. And John Travolta is driving in his car, and he pulls up to the building, and he runs up the steps, and he opens the door, and you expect him to push the bad guy off the roof and, you know, hug his girlfriend and live happily ever after. He opens the door. His girlfriend is dead, and the killer is gone. And that's the end of the movie. What a terrible story. Jesus dies. He's in the grave. But the story doesn't end there. We sang that hymn, "Low in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior." Growing up in the Baptist church on Easter, we would sing that. And we'd sing the verses just so slow, like a funeral, you know. Low in the grave. And then the chorus, there'd be like a John Norton kind of chorus. Up from the grave he arose, just victorious. Easter is a celebration. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live. Paul wrote, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Jesus overcame death by rising from the grave. Let me make it as simple as I can. Eternal life and the abundant life comes only through Jesus Christ. Eternal life. The only way that you can receive the gift of eternal life is placing your faith in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus paid the full price for your sins on the cross? See, we say, yeah, I believe that, but then we go off and chase the chicken. I believe that Jesus died for me, but I've got to repent of my sins, and I've got to be good, and I've got to go to church, and I've got to be baptized, and I have to do this and this and this. No, it's faith alone in Christ alone. If you could do something, if you could become good enough, then he wouldn't have to die. But we can never be good enough. No matter how much we chase that chicken, we can never get there. Eternal life comes by faith alone in Christ alone. And then the abundant life. The abundant life happens after you've trusted Jesus, as you daily walk in loving obedience, as you live a life of gratitude, as you draw closer to Him, and then you start experiencing that good life, that life of harmony and fellowship. If you're a believer, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you're not pursuing God. You're not in that daily relationship. You're chasing the chicken. Stop chasing the chicken. Pursue the Lord. He's the one that loves you. He wants to have that close relationship with you. If a good story is a character overcoming obstacles, then the story of Jesus is the greatest story ever told. By His death and resurrection, He broke the power of sin and He conquered death. Jesus Christ offers us forgiveness, a new life, a new relationship. Jesus Christ conquered sin and death by His death and resurrection. We're going to close this morning with a song. So let's all stand and like the worship team to come forward as we worship the Lord. Let's all stand.